Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out fear and anxiety. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out fear and anxiety. Oh, dear Lord, the world is such a mess right now. Try as we might, we just mess it up. We need you, Lord. We need you. We pray for peace. For those who are anxious and scared, for those who are lonely and living in fear, help them to feel your promise, your great big love, and the sense of family that surrounds them. For babies being baptized and the parents that bring them here, that they may know you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Like so many of you, I love this church. I'm so very grateful to my mom for bringing me here when I was 2 years old. It is my home, calm in the midst of the storms of life. Whether I was living in St. Peter, Minnesota, don't you know, or New York, or Chicago, or Bolivia, it hasn't really ever mattered where I have ventured off to, because this old Gothic sanctuary and the God that I feel within it, and the people that have always surrounded me here, they are home. We're at our best when we're here. We actually ask God for help when we're here and don't try to pretend and kid ourselves that we have all the answers. We love one another. We care for one another. We care for the world from within these walls. Well, a couple weeks ago, we were all downstairs in one of our odd happy places, greeting people in the Swedish meatball rice pudding extravaganza known as the stewardship dinner. Well, for the uninitiated, imagine a few hundred people in an overly lit church basement eating a traditional Scandinavian dinner with smiles on their faces as big as the pile of meatballs on their plates. It's so commonplace that we forget that hundreds of people gathered in a church basement eating rice pudding just because is kind of, well, weird and really, really nice. It's like homecoming every night of the week, and we look forward to it. Joy abounds. So I leave this great, joyful celebration, and I return to my office, and I pick up my phone, and I see that there are several missed calls from one of my brothers. Our vibrant, youthful, healthy 84-year-old mom had taken a tumble using the automatic foot wave feature of her car to open the back for groceries. It hit her. She landed on her back and suffered a fractured vertebrae, and they were concerned that a bone shard would work its way over to her spine and sever a nerve, causing paralysis. It's scary when someone we love gets hurt. All of a sudden, without warning, we're thrust into high alert mode. We stop whatever it is that we're doing at the moment. We hop in the car. We get our loved one to where they can receive help. Emergency rooms are bright lights. There are lots of movement, and they're absorbing information that is not part of our normal everyday conversation. We feel the need to listen with acuity so that we can report back to our loved ones, and so that if and when we're called upon to make decisions for our loved ones, that we'll know what to say and what to do. It's kind of like bringing your car into a mechanic and listening to them diagnose the problem, but with much, much higher stakes. And all throughout the whole evening, my brother and I are trying to remain calm and trying to joke so that my mom doesn't pick up on our panic and make her panic too. So we're sitting there when a doctor walks in, all masked up, looks at me and says, "Hey, I think you baptized my daughter." And all of a sudden, we were connected in our faith and in our lives. She scooted right up next to my mom and listened like she was the only patient that she had seen that whole entire night. She was brilliant, and she was funny. And she had my mom laughing so hard that all of her cares seemed to disappear. My mom instantly felt seen and heard and cared for. She went from panicked to hopeful. That human connect made all the difference to her and to our peace of mind. With a fellow church lady on the scene, we knew that we were in good hands and that we were no longer alone. The scripture passage that Pastor Callan just read is from the book of Ruth. It's a teeny tiny little book in the Bible. It's like 2 pages long. We rarely hear about it, but it packs a punch because it's a story of community just like this one. The story of Ruth actually began a generation before her with her mother-in-law, a woman named Naomi. Naomi lived during a time of great famine. And unable to feed her family, she moved to the other side of the Great Sea, to a country by the name of Moab, hoping for a better life. The move went well at first. Her family had food. Her sons found beautiful wives to marry. All was going well until tragedy struck. And not only did her husband die, but both of her sons died. Can you imagine? This was way before women had the right to work to support themselves or their families, and so their actual lives were completely dependent upon having a husband or sons in order to have a food to eat and a place to live. So here Naomi is, all alone in Moab, and she's scared. And her daughters-in-law are scared. And the three of them are sitting talking, and they're like, "What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?" And Naomi, out of love for the young women, releases them. "Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Go back to your villages. Go back to your moms. It'll be okay. May the Lord be good to you. Please go." And then Naomi kissed them goodbye, and the three women wept. The young women tried to object, but Naomi insisted. One of the daughters-in-law left, and the other clung to her mother-in-law and said these words, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There, I will be buried." Can you imagine? Ruth chose to leave her own family to make sure that her mother-in-law would survive. Love, community, church ladies. Ultimately, that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? A home, a place to belong, a place to be seen, to be heard, to be cared for. When we feel invisible or unheard or dismissed, it can lead to all sorts of other problems at work, at home, and out in the world. Those feelings soon give way to mistrust, to closed-up hearts, to anger, to loneliness, to feelings of disconnect and misunderstanding. Life is busy, we all know that. Emergency rooms are busier. I learned a big lesson from that great doctor that night. Taking the time to connect, to truly listen and to care makes all the difference. I've watched that happen here for over 60 years that I've been blessed to be part of this community. And it doesn't take much to do so. It just takes having a heart and a willingness to follow God's command to love one another exactly as God has loved us. I leave you with a gospel challenge this week. Who has God placed in your path? There is someone, I promise you. Will you hurry on by, or will you actually take the time to truly look and to listen and to care? We all long for community now more than ever, a place to belong, a place to make a difference, both here and in the world. Why not make this yours? I close with a verse from the Gospel of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Then feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Then tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because Jesus had asked him the same question three times, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Amen.